David Snowbogger, as he is in the Olathe Medical Center fighting infection as well. Lord, you are awesome. Your wisdom goes beyond our imagination, all that we are able to ask or to think. And Father, you're able to work the good things in our life for the furtherance of your kingdom, and even those things that are meant for evil. We thank you that in a world that is unsettled, in a world that is in confusion and continues to look for man-made solutions to problems that we've created, that there is God that is over all, that sees all, that knows all, and has moved dramatically through his Son Jesus Christ and through his people called the church to be the pillar and support of truth. Father, thank you for the new lives that we've been able to celebrate the past couple weeks. Callie Blaine and now Eli Burns. Father, they've already made their impact in this world. They've already caused love to grow, hearts to be enlarged, memories made, hopes, dreams, and the work of God upon their lives to be believed in and prayed for. That's what new life does. It changes us. It transforms us. It enlarges us. Thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray this week that as people walk through the fair and are involved in a lot of different things, that one of the things that they'll see is that there's a church congregation that says, we care, we love you, we believe in Jesus. Help us to plant seeds of your grace and mercy. Father, for David Snowbarger and Ron Gendry, Fran Garrison that's recovering from knee surgery, Steve Anderson that's celebrating with us here today as he continues to recover from his knee surgery. Thank you, Father, that they have the assurance that you're watching down upon them. You're meeting each of their needs according to the riches of your grace in Christ Jesus. For Ashley Johnson, who's representing you in Central Asia, thank you, Father, for how you're working in her life, how you are giving her the words, the opportunity, how you're opening doors in her life. For Tom Hines that will be here sharing us about Ecuador next week, Father, we pray that this will be a special week of meeting with you as he comes and shares and encourages this body of believers. For the campers that have been at church camp this week, Father, thank you for the seed that's been planted. Continue to grow that. Help them to do what is necessary to kindle afresh the flame of God's Spirit within them. The commitments that they made, let them be translated into a spirit of persistence and determination and holding each other accountable. Father, thank you for the work of your Spirit. And then for this man, Isaiah, God, we thank you for him. He already has, through his walk with Christ, the things the military want to make him, a man of courage, of faith, trustworthiness, of commitment to a cause that is greater than himself. So, Father, we pray and we thank you in advance for your protection over his life. Not only guard his body, but his mind and his spirit. Father, let people that contact and come into contact with Isaiah Grogan see within him a different kind of attitude, something that makes them question, what does this man have? Father, thank you for his commitment of his family over him. Thank you for this congregation that will pray for him on a regular basis. Father, let him never stray from this moment right here, when the church gathered around him and lifted him up in faith, in belief, in a holy pride, that this is the kind of men that Christian homes and a community of believers help form. Father, strengthen him, empower him, be with his family as we know that you will be. Thank you for their commitment to release him to your call upon his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, children up through grade one can go on down to kids' worship. The rest of you can get your Bibles and your sermon notes out, and we'll go through our conversation today. Well, we continue our series on encountering God, and I hope those on this side of the auditorium don't feel slighted. In the early service, when I was over in the middle, we were getting a ring, and I heard that when I was over this way, we didn't get that echo and so forth. So I'm going to preach over on this side, but I'm going to be looking over here an awful lot and seeing what's going on. I liked what Phil shared with us during that song, is that amen is one of the power words of the church, and we've seen that it means so be it. It's tied to being faithful and true. And today we're going to talk about being persistent in prayer. We've seen as we've gone through this series that God is open to the prayers of his people. His word has showed us over and over again that he wants us to live lives that are marked by prayer. Now, the experiences in our own lives and what we've seen in other people is really a simple truth. Desperate people pray. Even people that don't walk with God, when they get desperate, all of a sudden people say, oh God, help me. And probably in your life, sometimes the most persistent in prayer that you've been, the most that you've been clinging to the promises of God, have been in desperate times of your life when you said, God, I have no other help but you. Here's the reality. It's really not difficult. Prayer is the heart cry of people who realize that their own strength, their own wisdom, their own abilities, their own know-how is insufficient. Prayer becomes something that you just don't do in the mornings or at bedtime. It's not just a quiet time. It's not just something you do as a ritual before you eat your meal. It's not just even something that you do at church. It's something that becomes part of your life. In fact, prayer becomes like breathing in your spiritual life. That's why we're told to pray unceasingly, to continue to devote yourself to prayer. In fact, the scripture we're going to be looking at today is out of Colossians 4:2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. It doesn't just say be devoted to prayer. It says yourselves, this yourself that you have presented your body as a living sacrifice. Devote yourselves to prayer and be alert in it and have a thankful heart. In fact, the Good News translation says, be persistent in prayer and keep alert in it as you pray, giving thanks to God. Now, when we hear these words, it's easy to immediately go to a guilt trip. And I don't know if you've had that experience. When I've studied prayer, a lot of times you say, well, I've been praying, and I think I'm doing okay, but the more I read and the more I study it, I just need to be a better prayer, or I need to pray more. And so you try to pray more. But a lot of times our experience has been that when you pray, you end up praying the same things over and over again, and I hope this is okay to say, but sometimes we get bored with prayer. And then out of boredom, we get a little frustrated, and we think, I must be missing something here. And I think just one of the reasons this happens is that we think of prayer as just another to-do list. It's something that we need to add to our list of doing things. I've accepted Christ. He's done everything I need to have the hope of heaven in my life. And now God wants to engage in my life, but I've got to go to church. I've got to read my Bible, and I've got to pray. And if I'm praying, I should pray a little bit more than what I am praying. And it continues to go on. And one of the things I want to suggest to us here today is that one of the reasons why that we go from guilt to boredom to frustration, is it possible that we've made prayer more about us than about God? You see, I said from the very beginning of this series that One of the most difficult things that we will face in life is going from my will to thy will, from my kingdom to God's kingdom. That's not a one-time decision. That's something that we have to continue to work in our life. And the reason we feel guilt is that we're basing it on our performance. Am I saying the right words? Am I being aligned right? Am I doing the right stuff? And it becomes about my activity, my needs, my request, and my agenda. And if that's the case, it's not really all that surprising that we get bored about it, because no offense intended, but your request and your agenda and your needs, they're boring. And so are mine. It gets to be a pretty small world when you become to be the center of it, because you were never created to be the center of your world. And we've seen before, a couple of messages ago, that worry and anxiety and our cares were never meant to be the center of our world. Christ and his work in our life is to be the focal and the center of our world. You see, prayer needs to be about God's agenda, his list, his activity, moving that to your will and your kingdom come. You see, the reality is that even our ability to pray comes to us because of Jesus and his work on the cross. The reason why we can use the power word amen, so be it, is for what Jesus has done for us. Prayer was never intended to be about your performance or mine. It's about God's performance through his Son, Jesus Christ. If it was based on our performance, we wouldn't even be able to pray. And prayer is about God's activity all around us. It's not about our doing. Listen to this. It's about calling down his doing around us, bringing heaven's agenda to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, prayer should be about God's list of concerns. Doesn't he tell us, if we seek his kingdom first in his righteousness, what's the promise of that? All these things will be added unto you. Your list will be taken care of. Your agendas will be taken care of if we seek him first. And today we're going to have a conversation about persisting in prayer. How do I get in on what God is doing? You know, and there's a couple questions when we talk about this persistent in prayer that I just think we need to get out here. If God already knows what I need before I ask him, one, why do I need to ask, and why do I need to keep asking about that? Do I have to bother God enough until he finally releases his power in our life? You know, in Luke 18, Jesus tells a story about a persistent widow, and she goes to an unrighteous judge or an unjust judge, and he just kind of just keeps putting her off and putting her off and putting her on. It says, but because of her persistence, he will finally grant her request. Now, is God saying you just got to bug me enough and then I'll let you know? Well, actually, that is a parable of contrast, not of likeness. And Jesus said, the Father's not like that unjust judge. But understand, what you really want in life, what you really desire in life, is what you're going to pursue with all of your being. It's something that you're going to go after and you're not going to let up. You think about the things that are important to you. You think of some of your greatest accomplishments. You've had to persist at them. You've had to persevere. You've had to let some things go. And sometimes it's a very painful process, but you realize that the ultimate goal is what you're desiring. And if you're going to seek God with all of your heart, you're going to have to persist in that desire. You're going to have to say no to certain things so you can say yes to God. Do I need to have enough faith so I can, you know, sometimes you say, well, you just got to have more faith. Does God require a certain amount of prayer for certain situations? Do we earn our answers from God? Well, we're going to talk about some of that stuff. I'm going to share with you four big truths. And what I want you to do as I'm preaching God's word, as I want you to pray, God, what do these four big truths, how do they apply in my life? What would your spirit be saying to me about how I can honor you in my daily life as I hear this and as your spirit teaches me that these are four truths about persisting in prayer? And I want to pray right now. Father, your word tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. to align our heart to you and to have an alert or a watchful mind. Father, to the best of our ability right now and through your Spirit, we want to tune into you. We want to be watchful. We want to watch what you have to say. Because when we leave this place today, we want to be walking towards you, towards your will, towards your kingdom, to experience and encounter you in a fresh way this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here is the first big truth. As a follower of Jesus, I persist in prayer because it is through prayer that God's promises are received. And think about it. You have salvation because at some point in your life, you prayed to God. You called it early on in the book of Genesis. It says, in that day, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. The scripture says this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The reality is, you do not have salvation, your sins are not forgiven, unless you prayed to God and called out to Him. Now, that prayer may have looked in different forms. It could have been, God, I'm tired of my life, and if this is true, I receive you in my life, and I choose to believe that Jesus came and died for my sin. Some of you may have been led through a more official form prayer of a sinner's prayer, but at some point in time, you came first face to face with your own sin and your own inadequacies, and that Jesus died on the cross. And in some way, in order for you to have salvation, you had to call upon the name of the Lord. And I would just say, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, coming to this church ain't going to save you. Wishful thinking is not going to save you. Religious acts, putting money in the offering plate, is not going to save you. You are saved when you call upon the name of the Lord and His work upon your life. In fact, the promises of God are received by faith through prayer. Jesus said this in Luke 11, right after he had shared, it's a smaller version of what we call the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. Look what he says. In the New Living Translation, it says, and so I tell you, would you underline this? Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, underline that, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Now, some of your versions may just have ask, seek, and knock, but the verb there is in the action form. And so the New Living translates it, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In other words, be persistent in prayer. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Your fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, underline this, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? One of the greatest answers to prayer that we can have is when God takes His Holy Spirit and puts it in your life at salvation. And that Holy Spirit is going to lead you in righteousness and show you concerning righteousness, truth, and judgment. It's going to help you discern things. That's why as you read the New Testament, you'll see walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God. Because in prayer, the Holy Spirit engages our mind and our heart and our soul to align it with God's kingdom and God's purposes. This is the promise of Jesus. In Luke 24:49, he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until, notice this, the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And they were to go into Jerusalem and they were to wait there and they're going to pray to God until the Holy Spirit came, talking about Pentecost. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus once again says, you will receive, underline the word power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now look at what 2 Corinthians 1:20 says in your notes there. For no matter how many promises God has made, think about some of the promises God has made to His people. And notice this, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, through Jesus, the amen, that power word, the so be it, that this is true, happens. And notice this, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Folks, that's prayer. So be it to the glory of God. You see, the promises of God have been fulfilled and ratified in Christ. He was, as it were, the living incarnate. Amen. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus himself is called the Amen. We pray in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we begin to pray. And then we usually say, in the name that Jesus gave us, in the name that is above every other name, in the name that everything on earth and in heaven and under the earth bows at the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us that name to pray in. We say in Jesus' name. When you say that at the end of your prayer, you're saying, Father, would everything that Jesus did attach itself to my heart and my prayer. Amen. May this bring him glory and honor. By the way, amen is a remarkable word. It is transliterated exactly from the Hebrew into Greek, and it's the same word, amen, into Latin and into English. In fact, amen has been called the best known word in human speech because many different languages don't have a different word for it. It is simply amen. It is true. It is faithful. It is the so be it of God. Let's go on. Not only are the promises of God received by persistent prayer, pursuing prayer, prayer that has faith on the promises of God. And I would just mention this. As you read your Bible, many times God says something's going to happen, but there's this in-between time between what he said and where circumstances and the realities of life don't seem like it's going to happen. And then the promise is fulfilled at a later time through the people who had the faith to believe in him. You can see that Abraham, 25 years after the promise. You can see that throughout Scripture. I could spend here the rest of the afternoon just talking about God's promise. Here's this in-between time where we wait and we tarry and we believe, and God works with those people to bring it to fulfillment. Here's why. Hebrews 11:6, the way God set up this world to operate, without faith, it is impossible please God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, God's promises are received by persistent prayer. But I see more than that. Here's the next big truth. God's power is released in prayer. You can see this in a number of the various passages that we've been through. It says, for example, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways and seek my face, then God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. But that promise of God is contingent upon his people doing something. If my people pray, if they do. In the New Testament, we see a very similar concept. In James chapter 4, the end of verse 2, and in the chapter 3. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask with the motives, with the wrong motives. You're wanting to spend it on yourself. Okay? Two things here. The Scripture tells us that there is power in God that would be released in our life that is not released in our life because we don't ask. You have not because you ask not. You haven't pursued it in your faith. And there's sometimes we ask God to do certain things in our life, but it's all about my list and my agenda and what I want in life. You ask with the wrong motives. In fact, even when Jesus walked and he was doing, his teaching astounded people, his miracles, healed people, transformation was happening in his life. When he visited his own home region, Scripture tells us this. He could only do a few miracles there because of their lack of faith. it implies that Jesus would have done more miracles if the people would have had faith. In fact, when you read in the book of Mark, you read that, you remember the story when the people bring the four friends, bring the paralytic, and they let him down through the roof? At the very beginning, when you read that, it says, the power of the Lord was present to perform healing. But guess what? Nobody was being healed. Nobody was asking. You had a bunch of religious people looking and watching Jesus and looking at every word, but it was only when people acted in faith and believed and brought their friend that Jesus said, not only, see, they brought him so that he could walk again, but Jesus did something far greater. He says, your sins are forgiven. And so that you would know that I have the power on earth to forgive sins, I say, get up, take your bed, and go home. You see, God's power is present, but it has to be activated by our faith, and we activate that faith by our prayers and persistency in prayer. James 5 tells us the prayer of a righteous person, a person in right standing with God, is powerful and effective. And it tells us the story of Elijah, who, although he had a nature like us, there wasn't anything superhuman about him, but what was made him different, what marked his life, is he began to persist in prayer. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain in his country for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and by the way, when he prayed on Mount Carmel, he prayed 7 times. He said, go back and look again. You'll have to look that up in your scripture. I don't have time to talk about all that. But again, he prayed and the heavens were opened, and the rain and the earth produced its crop. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Don't look at your notes. Just let everyone looking up here. Okay? Now to him who is able to do, I have it memorized in this version, so I'll say it. And him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. You've heard that scripture before, right? What comes next? According to the power at work within us. You see, we like the fact that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ask or think. And here what I have here, he's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Do you realize when you go to prayer, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think? Now, it would be kind of cool if you went to prayer and they say, God is able to do all that we ask or think. I mean, that would be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? Because I can think of some pretty big things. Right? But the Spirit of God, when he was inspiring this, said, that's good, but that's not enough. That really doesn't explain the kind of God that you go and you pray to. God is able to do far more than all of what you can ask or think. And he said, that's not good either. That doesn't describe him. That limits him. He can do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. And said, let me show you. He can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Now, I just say this today because this is Growth Fund Sunday. You think, you know, yeah, so when are you going to build a church? And how are you going to get the money? And how much, you know, I don't know. I really don't. But I know that God has a desire to reach the people of North Central Kansas with the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And I know that he has done some great things in your lives and in mine. And I believe that it would please the kingdom of God and would honor his glory for what has happened in our lives to be shared in multiple homes across North Central Kansas. And so we believe that God could do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. Now, how is it going to happen? I don't know. That's God's problem, not mine, nor yours. Hello? Amen. What we have to focus on is that God wants to reach people. The reason he hasn't returned yet is because God is patient, and he's wanting the people to come into a saving knowledge of him.
And so while we have to make plans, and we are doing that, and while we have to have, we are asking God, and your leadership board is saying, God, would you settle upon us a united spirit that we know that this is what God is calling us to do. I believe God can do that. And I ask you to join us in that prayer. I ask you to go out to the new church property and go park out there and sit on there and just say, God, what is your plan here? What do you want us to do? What is my part in that? For his glory and the glory of the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now, if this power is in us, it begs another question. Why don't I see that power? Why don't I see that power in my marriage or in my family, in the person I'm praying for, or in my workplace or in the work? That word, according to the power, is a term of measurement. It means to measure out or to distribute. It brings connotations of when Jesus would say, may it be done to you according to your faith. You see, God's power is released as I call upon the promises of what he has promised in my life. I'm going to move on here. I have more to say. We can have a private conversation, I guess, if you want to hear what reason I had John chapter 7 there. Let's go on. God's power is released as I persist in prayer. As a follower of Jesus, I persist in prayer because God's plan is revealed through this type of praying, of asking and seeking and knocking and continuing to claim his promises and thanking God for the power that is at work already within us. Lord, we have the mind of Christ. Now help us to discern and understand what that mind is, and God's plan is revealed through that. Notice this, devote yourselves, and I underline this for you, to prayer with an alert mind or a watchful mind, we're told. Some of the versions just say be watchful. What it's telling us is to be increasingly aware of God's bigger plan and priorities in our lives. Begin to be aware of where I fit into God's bigger plan and what his priorities are. That word, to be alert or watchful, is used in other places in the New Testament, and quite often it is used in Jesus' teaching or in what we call the letters later on by the apostles about being watchful for the Lord's return. Because we believe that not only did Jesus die and took our sins, rose again on the third day, and ascended back to the Father, but a day is coming when Jesus himself will return. There will be a rapture of the church. Those that are dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And see, that is the promise of God. And that promise has been made, but we're living in the in-between time. But just like he came the first time, he will come the second time. And it's telling us to be alert and watchful, paying attention that this world is going to come to an end. God's justice is going to come and his judgment is going to come in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is one of those places that we're told to not be asleep. Here's what it says, 1 Thessalonians 5. But you are not in or given up to the power of darkness, brethren, for that day to overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. Accordingly then, notice this, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us keep, would you underline this word, wide awake, be alert, be watchful, cautious, and be on guard, and let us be sober, calm, collected, and circumspect. What it's telling us is live aware of Jesus' return and judgment of the whole world. Look forward to that day. Anticipate his coming. And when you begin to anticipate that day is coming, you live with an understanding that informs your awareness of what God is doing in the world right now. Jesus has come. He gave his life. He rose from the dead. And we're living in that in-between time. That's the big picture. So as a part of the big picture now, be watchful and find your place in that big picture. If God is patient, if he's not willing that any should perish, Maybe one of the reasons that he has you still here is that you have connections with people that you are able to share what Christ has done in your life and share your story, and they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They begin to ask questions. They would look at your life. You understand where you are and what God is doing in the world. You're watchful in prayer, and you pray for the stuff that really matters in life. It's okay, I suppose, to pray for a bigger house and a better diet, you know, and more money, all those kind of things. But what he's saying, don't sleepwalk through life. Don't miss the really, really important things. The next big thing that is coming is that one day the age of grace will be over and Jesus will come and take his church. That's the next big thing coming. Live in the light of that. With that knowledge and with that hope, this God who is faithful and true and fulfills all of his promises would be people that would persist in prayer. When you live with that reality and believe it in your heart, you become a person of prayer. And it informs your priorities of what you're crying out to God for. Jeremiah 33 says, "Thus says the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, who formed it and established it by his name, call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." I have in the Word here for you, Ezekiel chapter 36. Quite interesting passage of Scripture. God is saying he's going to restore Israel, and it's full of the promises of God. And as you read down that passage of Scripture, then it says this, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says." This God who's going to do what he's going to do and has all the world and is totally, doesn't need us, but has included us in his plan, and he has a plan, and he's going to work that plan. Here's what he says. "I am ready to hear Israel's prayers." What he said is, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm waiting to hear Israel's prayers. I don't completely understand this. God is completely sovereign. He has a plan. He knows how it's going to end in the end. But part of the mystery is through prayer, he asks us to be a part of that plan and says, not only do I want you to be included in that plan, I'm going to let you in on it. It's kind of the best way I can understand that is, you know, I heard it's kind of a silly illustration, but it's kind of like an elephant walking across the swinging bridge. And once the elephant had a flea that dropped on, got on the elephant and went across it, "Can I hitch a ride?" And once you get across that swinging bridge, the flea said to the elephant, "Didn't we shake that bridge?" It's kind of what God does for us. Is he goes, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you could ask or think. I don't need you, but I'm going to use you. And actually, your prayers are going to be a part of what I am doing in this situation. Let that grab your heart. The reality is that God works through the prayers of his people. And we won't ask him if we're not watchful, if we're not alert. We won't see his power if we don't ask for it. That power that transforms people around us. And we won't walk in accordance with his will if we're not alert and watchful and say, "God, I am tuning into you." And once God begins to grab your heart in this way, you say, "God, use my resources, use my life, take this body of mine, and may it be for your glory." Maybe there's something more important in the bigger picture than this thing I've been asking you to take care of. But how would I ever know that, God, if we don't sit down and converse about it? If I don't listen to what you are telling me in your word? We won't pray these kind of prayers if we're not watchful. And as a follower of Jesus, I persist in prayer because through it, God's presence is realized. devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. You see, thanksgiving is having an eye for the gracious activity of God in my life. It's noticing His merciful visitations, seeing His hand upon your life, and also being aware of the opportunities that point to Him. We've seen this throughout anything. You have several scriptures there where it tells us to be thankful in everything we do. As we represent Christ, always give thanks. When we pray for other people, give thanks for them. In any situation, when we have anxiety or worry or stress, in every situation, by prayer, make your requests and petitions with thanksgiving. It's saying, have an eye. We talked about this as an action point here a few weeks ago when we talked about building in time to contemplate God and saying, God, I spy. I see your hand of mercy in this particular area. I see someone that you've put into my life of a need that I can help meet. What I'm going to show you now is a string of videos here, and it's an awareness test. And what I want you to do here is I want you, and it's going to tell us on here, but I want you to pay attention to how many times those that are in white pass the ball. Now, I showed this a few years ago in a church service, so you may remember it, but go ahead and count how many times the team in white passes this basketball. Go ahead and turn on down the lights, okay?
Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball.
Okay, that's the first part of it, okay? How many times was the basketball passed by the white team? Let's hear it. 15, 16? Okay, now 16 is the right answer. Now, I know that some of you also noticed this. Not all of you, but I heard a few chuckles and stuff. Let's just be honest. Okay, I'm going to show this video again. How many of you saw the gorilla? Okay, well, about half of you saw the gorilla in there, okay? Turn to someone that didn't raise their hand and ask them, did you see the gorilla, okay? All right. Okay, so let's go on to the next part of this video, because there is more here. Here, I got more for you here.
The correct answer is 16 passes. Did you spot the gorilla?
I should have asked how many of you didn't see the gorilla, okay? It's what I ask. And you say, there wasn't any gorilla there. Now watch this. Go ahead and continue counting, but see if you see the gorilla.
Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball.
That is hilarious, okay? Oh, ye of little faith, okay? That is hilarious, okay? You'll be really nice to know, and we'll go on here to the next, and it'll tell you this stuff. About half the people that have never seen a video like this before don't see the gorilla in there because you're so focused on counting it, okay? And others that were able to raise their hand felt kind of smug and said, how could you miss that, you know, and stuff. Watch the rest of this video and then we'll talk about it.
For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half missed the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events.
A lot of people go through life looking for gorillas. They really do. But they miss some others. One of the things that I learned very early in age, go ahead and turn the lights back on, okay? Thank you. Is one of the problems with those that have been in the church for some time is we become so familiar with the truths of God's Word that we don't know really what it says. I think it's a danger in relationship. You become to know someone so much that you stop tuning in to them. And it's a danger in our relationship with God. You see, some of you knew to look for the gorilla, and you saw it. But I would guess probably most of you didn't notice the color changing and didn't notice the person leaving the game. Not big things in the course of this test, but it is a huge thing. If we approach our life in our spiritual life and get so used to what God is doing that we already know what the answer is going to be before we even need it, that we don't see God's activity around us. And the scripture says one of the ways that you do that is you continue to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving in your life, an attitude of thanksgiving. God, I thank you. I don't pray that you will be with me, for I know that surely you are. If your word is true, you are with me today. And that power of your presence in me will be released as I tune into you, as I align my heart to your agenda, your list, your way. And as I do that, you will guide me in the way that I should go. You will be the voice that says to the right or to the left. You will be the rear guard. You will be the one that says that if you trust in the Lord in all of your ways and acknowledge Him, He will make your paths straight. I know that today. Let me just ask you, if you really live that way, if you really live celebrating God each morning, knowing those truths, do you think you might see things that you haven't yet seen? Things that you have gotten so used to that, because God's presence is comprehended, it is realized as we persist in prayer and as we tune our heart into God. This is not a science, if you will. This is an art. This is training your spirit to align itself to the Spirit of God. So never stop praying. Be thankful in all your circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. And notice this. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We're not watchful. We're not thankful. We miss what the Spirit of God is doing because we're watching other things going on in our life. Again, I would encourage you to look down these things on the practicing the presence of Christ and do them on a regular basis in your life. But think of ways in which that you can, with fresh eyes, and maybe that's the prayer that you would pray. God, give me fresh eyes this day. Help me to see this person in a fresh way. Help me to see them, not just in a new way. Help me to see them as you see them. Let's pray. Father, we will make the commitment to persist in prayer, not out of religious duty, not in trying to align ourselves to the right place where we get your attention. For Father, your promise of your word says you're open to our prayers and that your eyes are watching the earth to strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Lord, this power that came into our life first of all when you forgave our sins by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is living and active around us. Father, may we take your word today and release that power. May we distribute. May we be people that please you by our faith today. And as we walk in accordance and obedience to you,
make your plan clear. Make your purposes in our life more understandable in our life. And thank you, Father, for the promise and fulfilling it of your presence being realized in fresh and new ways. God, it's good to be in love with you. It's good to see your hand over our life. May we be people that would say, the Lord was with us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.